accepted the invitation to come and preach on a Sunday morning. And then he got a letter a few days later from the church, and it began to give him the guidelines for what he could do on Sunday morning. And I'm not going to bore you with the entire letter that he sent to me, but it basically said that he could preach anything he wanted to preach as long as he didn't preach the Bible and didn't say Jesus was the only way to heaven. And that because they were a diversified church and they welcomed everyone. And that he must limit anything that he said to 25 minutes. And if he couldn't do that, let them know so they could cut something else out somewhere else. And I began to think, I said, well, what'd you do? He said, I just sent him back a letter and said I couldn't come. He said, I even told him I didn't believe Peter could preach in their church or Jesus could preach in their church and Paul could not have preached in their church. And I begin to think about that today. And, you know, as you study here in the Word of the Lord, you're going to find that certainly he's right. Peter couldn't have preached in his church. I think it probably would have been, I told him, I said, maybe you ought to went on and just preach what you wanted to one time. Maybe they needed to hear it one time. And like Brother Mays Jackson told me one time, he went to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And he said, I got up there and he said, the first night, said a man come to me and said, we don't like that kind of preaching up north. And he said, they don't like it down south either, but I give it to them anyhow. But as you this morning began to read Peter's sermon here on the day of Pentecost, as he stood preached to those people of that hour, and beginning in verse 14, his sermon, I'm not going to read his entire sermon, but as he began to preach that sermon to them, and he began to preach the gospel of the Son of God. And you know, the gospel today, the Bible says, is the power of God. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16. And as Peter preached, and as the gospel went out in great power, we find that in verse 37 of our text this morning, Holy Ghost conviction fell on the people who were listening to the sermon that Peter was preaching today. The Holy Spirit brought conviction. The Bible says that they were pricked in their heart. And I believe this today that as you study this, you'll have to agree with me that the Holy Spirit was working in their lives. In John 16, Jesus told his disciples that after he was gone, he wouldn't leave them orphanless today, that he wouldn't leave them alone, because when he was gone, the Holy Spirit would come. And when he was come, he would convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And I believe here on the day of Pentecost, as Peter stood and proclaimed the great gospel story about the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the day that God had planned this from all eternity, and that this was God's plan, and the only way to be saved, the only way to be redeemed, the only way to be forgiven was through what God had done through Jesus Christ. These individuals were pricked in their hearts. They were convicted by the Holy Spirit today. And as you begin to study the Bible, you'll find that as the gospel is preached today, and the gospel is gone out, the Holy Spirit in great power will use the Word of God. Paul, as he wrote the church at Rome in chapter 1, and I want you to listen to what he says in chapter 1 in verse 16 and 17. Verse 16, of course, says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, for it is written, the just shall live by faith. There are three fars in those three verses today, and it teaches us today the fars of the gospel. There today, Paul said, it's the power of God. He said in Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We find that he says here in verse 17 that the righteousness of God is revealed through the gospel. This morning we need to realize the great message of the church today, the great message of the Bible is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It is today the gospel of the Son of God today. And so when Peter was preaching here on that day, conviction failed and they were pricked in their heart. God was moving in their lives and He would not let them rest. You know, that's a very good thing when you begin to think about it. God gets a hold of you, and He doesn't let you go. God gets a hold of you today, and He does not let you have any rest. When the Holy Spirit begins to work in your life and work in your heart today, you see, He never hushes up. He doesn't quit. He's always there. It's always that little voice on the inside. It's always something today that's pricking you and troubling you and working in your life and making you uncomfortable. That's the Holy Spirit of God. I can't leave here and go home with you and spend the night and the week with you. I can't go to work with you tomorrow or to school or wherever you might go. But the Holy Spirit can. And He will. He'll leave here with you and He'll work in your life and He'll move in your life and He'll prick in your heart and He'll continue to give you unrest today. You see, if I had one message today for all the world, if I could preach to the entire world at one time, I believe today the message would be what Peter says in verse number 40. He said, save yourself from this untoward generation. That's what the gospel is all about today. You see, Peter had preached the gospel. Peter had revealed the Lord Jesus Christ as the Redeemer. He had revealed the judgment of God. He had revealed the righteousness of God that was available through the Redeemer. And then he says to them in verse number 40, you need to save yourselves from this untoward generation. You see, there he speaks today to us of our responsibility this morning. He said, save yourself. Now, when you read that, if that was all that we had in the Bible, we would be in a great mess, wouldn't we? If today all I could tell you was, save yourself. If that was the only message I had, we'd all be in a great deal of trouble this morning. Somebody says, well, now, wait a minute, preacher. I've been coming to church all my life. I've been listening to preaching all these years. And you know, preacher, you cannot save yourself. You're exactly right in one respect. I cannot save myself, and you cannot save yourself but through good works, through today church membership, through any kind of moral or purity. We cannot take vows and we cannot perform enough good works to ever go to heaven. So what is Peter saying here when he says that today, save yourself? Well, he just got through telling them that Jesus saves. But you see, what he's saying today is that even though the gospel has been fulfilled through Jesus Christ, even though all the prophecies of the Old Testament of His death and His burial and His resurrection has been fulfilled. Even though this morning, through the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this morning, that the gospel now can go out to all the world, that every man, woman, boy, and girl can be saved because they can be washed clean in the blood of Christ. He said, we still have responsibility. You and I have responsibility in that salvation. You see, today, it would be like if you fell overboard off of a ship and somebody tossed you a lifeline. And as you're struggling there in the water, everything has been done for them to pull you to safety except for one thing. You have to grab the rope. Everything that's been done today for your salvation has already been done. Jesus has died. Jesus has been buried. Jesus has rose again. Jesus has sat down at the right hand of the Father, and He's willing to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. But then it becomes our responsibility today to do what? To accept what God has done for us. You see, there is human responsibility in salvation. You see, Peter here says you need to save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now, what does that mean? Well, the word untoward, as far as I know, is the only time that it's used in the entire Scripture, but it literally means perverse, crooked, and uncontrolled. Paul, talking about the nation, the world of his time in Philippians chapter 2, and verse number 15 called it a crooked and perverse nation. So Peter's saying, hey, you're living in an untoward age. You're living in an untoward time. That's what generation means, age. And you're living in that untoward time. And you need to save yourself because of that time. See, our time is crooked and perverse today. Isn't it amazing how crooked and perverse our nation is? Isn't it amazing how crooked and perverse our age and the time in which you and I live is today? I read in the paper this morning, and it was, I guess, this past week or so. I can't remember exact date, but Roger Clemens, the former pitcher of the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees and several other major league teams, had been on trial for lying to Congress. And he was acquitted of all charges. And someone wrote a little article in the paper today, said that they figured that it didn't matter if he was lying to liars. That Congress lied to the people all the time, so what did it make any difference if we lied back to them? You ever thought about how true that might be today? And it's in our entire world, isn't it? We live in a crooked and a perverse and uncontrolled age this morning. When today good is bad and evil is good. I was noticing during the Mother's Day time, and J.C. Penney, and probably don't need to get started on J.C. Penney too much, but if you're buying anything from J.C. Penney, please don't do it anymore. But their ad for Mother's Day featured a baby who was the child of two lesbians, and they had the ad in there twice and made sure that people understood exactly what they were saying. Ellen DeGeneres is their spokesperson. And this morning, and so what are they doing? It's just a reflection, it's a mirror of our society. And so Peter is saying Jesus today is the way out. Jesus is the redemption. Jesus is the salvation. And everybody needs to realize that they have a responsibility to accept what Jesus has done. We live in a time of moral bankruptcy, and you know, every day is amazing when you begin to look around and see what happens. It really is. Jesus said as it was in the days of Noah. And there's a lot of things about the days of Noah, but the one thing that always comes to my mind, actually two things that come to my mind, is in the book of Genesis chapter 6, as you study the days of Noah, and as you read what God says about them, you find that one thing that it always amazes me in verse 5 of Genesis 6, and it said, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. That is, it was getting worse every day. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's all that it was. That every thought was evil. Wasn't that amazing today? But Jesus said that it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. The other thing that always struck me was in verse 4, it said, and there were giants in the earth in those days. Boy, you look around today and you see a lot of giants, amen. And you know, you begin to wonder. Because every day is getting worse than the day before. And what happened in the days of Noah? The judgment of God fell. God's judgment fell. And people today don't like to hear about the judgment of God. They don't want to hear today that sin and the wrath of God is going to come down upon an unrepentant and an unbelieving world. But understand this today, the judgment of God is coming. The judgment of God is going to fall. And the judgment of God is not going to be a pleasant time. When you get home, begin reading the book of the Revelation if you want to see what the judgment of God is going to be like when it falls upon an unbelieving world. You read how that God today is going to punish those today who have rejected His Son, who have rejected His love, who have rejected His mercy and His grace and had pleasure in unrighteousness. Today, when the judgment of God falls, it's going to be a terrible and a horrible thing. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul, as he writes that church, he tells them some things about the judgment of God. And in verse number 6, he says this. He said, "Let no man deceive you with vain words," or with empty words. "For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." Now, what are the things that he's speaking of? Well, all you got to do is walk back up in verse number 3 and begin to read. "But fornication and all uncleanliness," or covetousness, "let it not be named once among you as become a saint, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, has an inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ." And the judgment of God is going to fall because of those things Paul enumerated, because of the sins of mankind today, because of the rejection of Jesus today. The judgment and the wrath of God is going to fall upon this world. A lot of people don't like to hear that. A lot of people think they can continue in their sins. They think they can continue to be fornicators and whoremongers. They think today they can continue to be filthy and talking and unclean. They can go on living a life of thievery, and they can go on living a life of sin today, and evil and wickedness, and everything's going to be all right, and one day God's going to welcome them inside the pearly gates. But I want you to understand this today. When you live that kind of lifestyle, today Jesus has not transformed your life. And Paul said, and the Bible is abundantly clear throughout the Scripture today, that because of that today, the judgment and the wrath of God's going to fall. That's what Peter is saying to these individuals this morning. God has provided a way of salvation. God has provided Jesus Christ. He has provided a Redeemer. He has provided a way to be washed from your sins and have your life transformed and changed. And you need to take advantage of that and get out from under this untoward generation, because that's whom the judgment of God is going to fall upon. The same apostle, as he writes the church at Rome. We looked at a couple of verses in chapter 1 a moment ago, but in chapter 1 of the book of Romans, as he continues talking to the Roman church about the power of the gospel, he says this to them in verse number 18. Listen to what he said in Romans 1:18. "For the wrath of God." So here's the other part of the gospel. "For the wrath of God," the judgment of God, "is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." The wrath of God is coming. We could go on and read a lot of charges that is given in the latter part of Romans 1, but just listen to verse 32. He said, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." The judgment of God is going to fall. And so, and it's falling because of this untoward, this perverse, and this crooked generation, this age, because of the sin that's being committed and the evil that's going on around us today. And it's time somebody today stood up and preached today that sin is wrong and sin is evil and God is going to punish it, because that's exactly what He's going to do. Why? Because He has made today a way of escape. Paul said, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" The only way to escape today is what Peter said here, is through Jesus Christ the Redeemer. Man has a responsibility. Man cannot stand before God and say, "You should not condemn me." You know, every time I read the newspaper and I see that there's a criminal has been convicted of some crime, and he'll begin to appeal it through a process, and they'll go through court after court, and they'll go through appeal after appeal. And it's always, "I should not have been convicted because of this, because of that, because my lawyer was this, because of this and that and the other." You see, men today think that they can stand before God and convince Him on appeal today that she could not convict them. But understand this morning, No man can stand before God. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, he spared not his own son. There is no escape the judgment of God once you leave this walk of life. I want to tell you this morning, God has provided everything for every person in this building, for every person walking upon the face of this earth to be redeemed and have their sins forgiven through Jesus Christ. If one day you stand before God and God says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You have your place in the lake of fire. You're going to be doomed and condemned for all of eternity. You can't blame God and you can't blame me and you can't blame the Holy Spirit because this morning God has done His job of sending Jesus to be your Redeemer. The Holy Spirit has come and convicted people of their sins. I've told this story to you before, but I want to tell you one more time because it illustrates the attitude of so many today. Several years ago, I visited in a home, and I was asked to go there by a young lady's mother. And I went there and knocked on the door. Boy, it was a stormy night. Boy, it was a terrible night. Knocked on the door, and the lady came to the door. The young lady did, and I told her who I was. And I said, your mother asked me to come and visit with you. And I just wanted to come in for a moment. Would it be okay? And she said, come on in. And I went in, and there was her husband. He was sitting at the table, and he was sitting there drinking his long neck Budweiser. And he said, well, ain't nobody quit now, is there? And I said, no, I don't guess so. And I began to talk to her. And she was pretty unreceptive. And finally, he began to ask questions. And the young man began to ask questions. And finally, he told me, he said this, and I've never heard it put this way. He said, you tell him there's no slack. I said, what do you mean no slack? He said, you're telling me it's either here or here. I said, that's what I'm telling you. He said, well, why ain't there some slack? I said, let me tell you what the slack is, Johnny. I said, God sent his son to die for your sins. He loved you that much. Doesn't cost you anything. Grace and mercy is already there. I said, I left my wife and children home and come out on this stormy night to tell you about it. And the Holy Spirit's here convicting you in your heart right now, and you know that. I said, that's all the slack you're ever going to get. That's it. There is no other slack today, folks. But folks think, hey, I'm going to get some slack. God has already done his part. Now it's your responsibility as the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin. I wish I could tell you the story had a happy ending, but I'm not for sure that it did. He came to church several times. I talked to him many times after that. And then finally, one day, he just disappeared, and I never saw him again. Maybe I'll see him in heaven. I don't know. He never made a profession of faith. He never did anything. But I can tell you this today. God did his part. The Holy Spirit did his part. And he can't blame God. Responsibility. And then there was some action. These folks said, hey, well, what do we do? What can we do? Peter said, first thing you got to do is repent. Had a preacher tell me one time, and he said, I don't know where these preachers get repentance. I said, what are you going to repent from? I said, what are you talking about? He said, you don't have to repent today. He said, I don't know what you'd repent from. I said, your dirty, rotten sin is about all I can tell you. I said, all I can tell you in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, Paul said, God commandeth men everywhere to repent. Somebody says, what's repentance? Let me just tell you what I believe repentance. I'm not going to get, I could get into a lot of definitions and all. I think the simplest way for me to tell you what repentance is you're willing to do whatever God says do. I remember when the Holy Spirit convicted me, and boy, he was in my heart and wouldn't let go, and finally, you get to that point, and I thought, God, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll do anything you want me to do. If you want me to go get a pair of red pajamas and run down the main street at midnight yelling hallelujah, I'll go get the red pajamas and hope midnight hurry up and get you. That's what repentance is. You're just willing to do whatever God says this morning. You're willing to turn to God. I was listening to some gospel music the other evening on TV, and Jimmy Fortune, who used to sing with the Statler Brothers before they retired, was on this particular show, and he was singing a song he wrote, and it was called I Believe. And he said, I'd like to just give a word of testimony and tell how this song came to be written. He said that my mama was a devout Christian and a great prayer warrior. And he said, my daddy was an alcoholic. And he said, I love my daddy, but said there were many times I didn't even want to see my daddy come home. And he said, he was a mean alcoholic. He said, my mama would pray. And he said, one day, he said, I was just a little boy, a young boy. And he said, I looked outside, and he said, Daddy got his old truck, and he got a gun out, and he told Mommy just going to end it all. And he said, I went off up in the woods and waited to hear the shot. But the shot never come. He said, I finally eased back down, and said he walked up to the porch where Mama was, and said he called her by her name, and he said, I've tried everything else. I know you have revival starting down at the church tomorrow. I'll go with you. He said he went to the church the next day, and Jimmy said the first thing he saw was a preacher give the invitation with his daddy come down and begin to cry out to God. And he wrote the song, I Believe. I believe in a place called Mount Calvary. I believe in a man called Jesus, and I believe that he died for me. You see, this morning, you can try a lot of things, but when you turn to God, God takes care of all the rest. You see, there was transformation. Verse 42, the Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. You see, you have the responsibility of accepting what God has done for you. You have the responsibility of repenting of your sins. But then God takes charge of everything else. He'll transform your life. He'll change your life. Somebody said, I couldn't live it. Don't worry about that. Nobody can live it. God lives through you today. The Holy Spirit changes you and makes you into something new. He does. He changes, completely changes you. You see, I could give you many testimonies today. I could tell you today a lot of things, but I want to tell you this. God will transform your life. He will change you this morning. That's the gospel. That's what God does for you. Now your responsibility is, what will you do with what God has done for you this morning? All right, we'll stand together with Brother Bruce and Barbara. Come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we're together. We ask you, Lord, that you might take this very simple gospel message and use it in our lives. Teach us and train us and direct us and lead us where you'd have us to go. In Jesus' name.